I love the fact that you come. Well, hi, nice to see you guys. See, sometimes we don't do this professional radio thing because we were talking before, and I was like, hey, we're still talking. The new album is called Every Soul Grows to the Light. Congratulations.
Thank
it is
you.
Not an easy thing to make an album because we live in an age where people don't make albums. Do you agree? I think the music business is now screwy. I love albums because they're, to my mind, they're created with a musical narrative. It's not just, hey, I'll throw this song there, I'll throw this song there. They also can be very beautiful. And yours, your CD, I'll call it a CD, is especially beautiful because it's got some of the most stunning artwork I've ever seen.
Yeah.
How do you decide to do this, Jenny?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, it's so great to see you and great to be on this program. We just love this program.
Yeah, we've had fun on this show, the three of us.
And the idea for Every Soul Grows to the Light originally had a different album name. It was going to be called Imminent. And I had a whole bunch of songs. And over the course of time, the list of songs that were potential for the album was like maybe 16. And then it narrowed itself down to 12, and that wasn't an appropriate title anymore. So I said to myself, I'm going to go for a jog. And by the time I get back from my jog, I'm going to know what the title of this album is. And it came to me in the middle of my jog that Every Soul Grows to the Light is the name of the album. It's a line that the piper says to the devil in the song Pay the Piper. And these songs are just songs that I've been playing around the house forever. And it was just kind of my own waking up to the fact that this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
These are the songs I'm playing. And from there, it was just, you know, there's a whole creative community in Chicago, but particularly where we live out in Oak Park. In
no question. You two guys. Well, and you two guys are kind of at the center of it, too.
Well, really, we're very, very lucky to be part of what they call the Veltway on Roosevelt Road, which consists of Fitzgerald's Nightclub and Wire Nightclub and the Friendly Tap. And there's just amazing musicians that are part of that community, and it's multidisciplinary. You have filmmakers and photographers, and artists,
visual artists,
and I think everybody who's involved feels that they are at the center of it because it is just that special kind of community.
Let me ask you, I know I've asked you before and you've told the story before, but I always like to do it again. Robin, what's your background? How did you come to music?
You know, I was one of those kids who took guitar lessons, really. Took classical guitar lessons.
At the behest of your parents?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, no, I think I was always, you know, that's right. I think I wanted to take trumpet lessons, and I had braces at the time, and I couldn't. So it was a consolation. It was one of those ridiculous things that sort of changed my life. And then, you know, you just these objects, these guitars, they're just they're wood, and they're these beautiful things. And, yeah, they just kind of took to it.
And did you like it immediately?
I think I did, yeah. I remember it was, you know, I was just never a particularly good student at it. But I think it was really when I was in my 20s and I kind of found jazz music. I kind of found the music that really kind of floated my boat. And then it just became an obsession. Right?
Well, when does one decide to make a career of their obsession?
I'll let you know when that happens. But
I didn't say a successful career. I said a career.
You know, for me, I think I was in my mid-20s, really, and just kind of found myself trying to entertain myself, I think, and I kind of picked up the guitar to, you know, just something I was interested in getting better at. And then that's when I found one of my sort of soulmate partners was Jay Sebastian, who we started a band, Twang Bang, which was a kind of a punk rockabilly duo. And we did a lot of street performing. We ended up living in Japan together for a year. And just a terrific band, you know, wrote funny songs. And we're technically still together, but we don't really play much these days. But
why Japan?
Well, let's see. What were the circumstances? My partner's was married to a woman at the time who lived in Japan. Had a teaching gig in Japan,
yeah.
So it was just logistics. He was going there anyway, and I was at a place in my life where I could do it. Jenny and I were actually together in those days. This is getting to be about 20 years ago.
Wow!
And we had we kept up. We weren't married yet, but we sort of kept up. It was one of the early email relationships. So I remember the early days of you know, when people had email accounts that.
AOL, that's all I remember, AOL.
Yeah, right. But I think there was a time when I came back and we thought about printing out all of our email exchanges, and it was getting to be hundreds of pages. And it was
turning them into songs.
Right, right.
Turning them into songs.
Yeah, it was an intense period. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just
it happened.
I think like any artist, you know, you get obsessed with the thing you're doing, and it's easier to do it than to not do it, frankly.
Well, and also to find a community in which you can be nurtured, and that's an important, terribly important aspect of it. Jenny, I know you went to U of I, right?
I sure did.
You play music at U of I?
I did. I actually studied theater at U of I, and so music was my sideline there, and it was a great thing to have on the side, just because, you know, the vicissitudes of the theater life. You were talking with a great group just before we got
on. They sound, I know they're all young people who are trying to, you know, make it,
and they're doing it.
Yes,
and that's the most important thing.
Well, but also the two of you, I'm gonna take a break, but I also want to talk about the nature of collaboration, which you two do, I would think, strenuously, not just creatively, but in every conceivable way. And the, you know, I just have the feeling the world's getting a little icy, and collaborating in person with another person is becoming a more essential, I think, aspect of life. So let's take a break and tackle that big, big subject. This is a beautiful song, Jenny Bynum.
Thank you.
You wrote this song?
I did. I wrote it at Steelbridge Songfest.
You performed this song?
Yes, with the songwriter Jerry X, who's based in Florida. Yes. So she.
How often do you write with Robin?
Well, Robin and I both do the Steelbridge Songfest songwriting events up at the Holiday Music Motel in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Which sounds, the last time you were on, about a year ago, that sounds like the neatest thing. It's kind of, we're talking about collaboration. It's kind of this strange, forced collaboration, isn't it?
Yes.
Talk about it a little bit.
Well, you spin the bottle for your collaborators.
Yeah.
And on that particular song, Wake Up, that Robin spun me. So in a group of 50 people, for the one husband to spin the one wife feels a little bit like End of Days.
Yeah.
But then
it's happened twice in the time.
Has it really?
Well, statistically, It's going to happen one in 50. Someday, right?
Yeah, yeah, one in 50 chance.
Yeah, right. But the other thing that happens is when you get to a certain point in the week, you have commitments. So you're spinning the bottle for your collaborators. You're writing a song. Then you're recording the song. Then you're rehearsing the song to perform it for on these two concerts that the whole entire town comes to. So for that song, Wake Up, which I wrote with Jerry X, Robin was one of our collaborators, but he had to be in the studio recording with another group. So Jerry and I wound up writing that song together. And it was a beautiful experience. I had the riff. She said, "Oh, it makes me feel like this." Pretty soon we put the words together and it became that song.
This Steel Bridge thing, do people ever get in? Do collaboration not work so well where people try to kill each other?
Yeah, we've been there.
I'm sure.
Not you two, but
I'm sure that's happened. But, you know, we don't really hear about it because it's so well run. Pat McDonald and Melanie Jane, who are the two people, sort of the forces guiding it, they just sort of have figured out how to do it in such a way that it feels good.
To flesh out the scene, I mean, first of all, I think that they pick people who are really going to be in the spirit of the
sure.
And they really handpick them, and they pick people with a variety of experiences and skill sets. You know, for instance, there's always a good line bank of four drummers because everybody needs a drummer, and those drummers are playing on. You know, you try to get a drummer, it's like, I'm in the studio with this guy.
It can be four in the morning.
Be there, yeah.
You know, when they're ready.
What's the key to the art of collaboration? Is it, do you have to sublimate, on some level, you have to sublimate ego a bit.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think, my experience usually, let's see, let's just talk about that Steel Bridge experience where you're collaborating with, and at least three songs, each time with two other people at least. Usually there's one person who kind of drives it. And then other people kind of chime in and sort of help it along.
Gotcha.
Usually that's the case with me. And usually if there are three songs I'm involved on, I usually drive one and I help another one. And one I might kind of stay on the outside of it. So there are different ways to do it.
So the definition of collaborative is you can pull. It's like a meal. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes one focuses, in the case of a song, on lyrics, and the other kind of focuses on music. In this case, I think with this song, Jenny really had that guitar piece, and Jerry X really liked it, and everybody started throwing out words. I think that's right.
Yeah, when it works really well, everybody has something to contribute that's unique. So Robin and I wrote a song together this past February. And it's another great example because I started out with a guitar riff. He was busy. The other guy was busy. I was like, I guess I'll get started on the song. I had a riff. The other guy, Charlie Sheets, came in. I was like, I have an idea if you want to start heading in that direction. He liked it. So he and I got pretty far along. And then Robin came in. And then Robin was like, well, you know, trying to figure out where he fit. And all of a sudden, Robin was like, oh, we need to make a space there.
Interesting.
Oh, we need to make another space there. And that chord that you think you played wrong is actually exactly what that chord should be. So it may feel like, you know, someone maybe doesn't come up with a riff or maybe doesn't come up with the lyrics, but where the silences happen in the song are easily as important as the words. And so you have three equal collaborators, even if one person came up with the riff and another person primarily drove the lyrics.
There's certainly been instances where it's like, oh, okay, there's our chorus. You write one verse, I'll write another verse. And I've done things where we're kind of like, don't know what we're going to do. And we'll do, if you're familiar with the exquisite corpse model, which is where, in visual art, you fold a piece of paper and someone makes one piece and you get to see a little bit of the bottom and continue the picture and you end up with three pictures that are connected but have nothing to do with each other. So I've had a few instances where we write a song that way. It's like, okay, here's the chorus or here's some little bit of it. You write a whole piece.
Jenny, where did you record her latest album? I call it an album. It's actually a CD. Is Every Soul Grows to the Light. Where did you record this?
I try to match the studio with what I'm trying to do with the song. So the bulk of the songs were recorded at Bruce Roper, who's a member of the band Sons of the Never Wrong, his studio, Little School Street Studios.
Is it easier to make a CD these days than it was 10 years ago?
I think so, because there's, you know, Bruce Roper recorded some of the songs. Steve Dawson, Colonel Sound Emporium, recorded three of the songs. And then I mixed it with Blaze Barton at Joyride Studios. And I think just because there's so many people, it's gotten easier to use equipment that there are more people doing it.
Was this a leap for you? I mean, given the nature of the music, the download world we live in, was this a... I'm not going to say risk.
I think that would be fair. I think it's fair to call it a risk.
Why?
I think any time an artist puts themselves on the line with their ideas and makes a physical product, there's a risk.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to download it, us included. We were talking earlier about podcasts and using our phones for every conceivable task.
Sure.
But the reason why I had to make a CD is because when you open it up and you see that beautiful triptych, you know, in past CDs, I would have had all the lyrics right there. But I'm like, lyrics can go on my website. I want to give someone an experience. So I want them to hear the songs. I want them to see Sue DeMille's beautiful three-panel painting that's called A Star Reminds the Dark That It's Just Pretending. Or, you know, it's a beautiful
title. How did this artwork come to be?
I said, Sue, I have a vision for the album, and would you do me the honor of allowing me to commission a three-panel artwork based on the themes of the songs. So I sent her a Dropbox link with all the songs, and she listened, and that's what she came up with.
Wow.
It was a true collaboration.
Yeah, it is really, I mean, it is stunning, stunning artwork. Do you expect, when someone buys your CD, as you people should, do you expect or want someone to sit down and play the CD and listen to it from beginning to end?
Well, it's certainly created with that journey in mind.
You would think.
And I believe that probably most of the people we know listen to a physical CD in the car if they still have a CD player in their car.
Right, right, right. Right.
Other than that, I don't really – I mean, I think eventually everyone who has a CD will listen to it like that. But other than that, I want them to have the freedom to get into the song that really works for them first. Find their foothold in the album. They'll eventually hear the whole entire
How do they find
thing.
Their foothold? They have to listen to the album in some fashion before finding a foothold.
They do.
Or they, I suppose some people find a foothold in a title, I guess.
Well, some people might have heard a song live, and they're getting it to go, and they're clicking through to that song, and then maybe they hear it a couple times, and then the record X, you know, just kind of goes on to the next song, and then they're like, I like that song. Before you know it, they've heard the whole album, but they got there because they heard one song live.
Right. You're proud of this, aren't you?
I am. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of all of my collaborators. It took a village. The photographer Paul Goyette is based in Oak Park. Sarah Steck, who's a graphic designer, does a lot of work in Chicago. We've got musicians from every part of the city.
No kidding. Yeah.
And of course, all of this came together at Fitzgerald's through their Tuesday open mic, which is calling it an open mic. It is an open mic, but it's more like where the community gathers to bring their new songs forward, to try out their cover songs. It's so much more than an open mic.
When did that start?
I feel like, well, we had been dropping in since the 90s for sure. We became regulars like 7 years ago, and the Fitzgeralds have owned the place since the 80s, so I feel like they've been doing it maybe from the start.
Yeah, it's quite a community.
Yes, it's incredible.
Well, we're going to talk some more to Jenny and Robin and hear some songs, because that's why... That will induce, I have the feeling, people to buy the CD. What are your hopes for this? Do you have, does one have, you know, I suppose when in the old days you want to, you know, like a gold record or a platinum record. I mean, I suppose you just want people to hear it, don't you?
I think, you know, that's why everybody does everything. We're having a big CD release on Friday, April 21st, and that's where all of those songs are going to be played live.
That is a way to, and you will have CDs, obviously. You'd be foolhardy not to have CDs for sale at this thing.
Definitely.
The CD release party is, of course, at Fitzgerald's. Robin will be there, Steve Dawson, the great Naomi Ashley, who's been on this show a number of times in a number of different iterations. Just go to Fitzgerald's. Or go, you've got a good website.
I do.
All the information's on your website. Yes. We'll spell it for you later, and you will hear this young woman not only play, but sing. She is a singer, a songwriter, and a fingerstyle guitarist, whatever that means. Explain that. What does that mean?
It's a certain kind of guitar. You know, a lot of music you hear is very rhythmic, and that they're using a finger pick, they're strumming. Mm-hmm. And so the many of the songs on this album are just me using my fingers on the strings, and
that's
it has
neat.
A different quality.
Yeah,
that's
neat. If you're familiar at all with like how a guitar works, the different ways to play it, as Jenny said, you know, people think of holding a pick between hands,
sure.
strumming. But sort of, you know, the older or the more sophisticated way is to play with all of your fingers or some of your fingers, like a classical guitarist.
Right,
picks,
of course.
You know, has several different, you know, melodies going at the same time. And that's very close to what Jenny's doing. It's more of a classical approach.
Prepare yourselves to hear some of the music. Jenny and Robin can call for whatever they want after the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Flipping through the magazine of my grudges on Sunday, I have nothing to complain.
Well, that's a song called Biggest Mistake from my album Every Soul Grows to the Light. And you hear Robin Benjamin playing on that guitar. You hear Andon Davis on the mandolin. I, of course, am playing the guitar and singing. My companions vocally are Jody Walker and Ron Lazaretti. And it's a meditation on, you know, those Sundays where you're like, why didn't this go the way I planned? Ah, oh, maybe the biggest
mistake. Hey, every
mistake.
Sunday's like that for me. What are you kidding?
Except for when we're together.
That's true.
And those
That's true.
Are the best.
Now let's listen to a little more.
Was it just a misunderstanding in the rain? A promise better broken than kept. Biggest mistake it didn't make.
What do you think when you hear yourself play?
Well,
is there anything I can't, it's not like me reading something that I wrote. It's, and that's vastly different, I think, because this is singing and listening, a much more visceral kind of experience, I think. What do you think?
Well, I think it's nice to do it with other people because it's so genuine. For instance, you were enjoying it so much.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
such a pleasure to sit here with you while you do that. And so often when you're writing a song or you're recording it, you're by yourself, you know.
Right.
And so you don't know how it lands with other people. You know how it lands with you. And so it's sort of like the tingles you feel when your, you know, child is out on stage, and it's pleasant when you find that, you know, you like the song, and I'm still surprised by little things about it. So,
well, I'll say to the degree to which playing music is somewhat athletic, I mean, there's a physical,
no question,
there's a physical element to it. Jenny takes such joy in just the physical playing of a song, and for me, it's such a blast to just watch. I mean, I've, you know, watched her writing these songs and performing them and practicing them, and it's just such a, you know, they're pretty complicated to play. You know, I'm a somewhat sophisticated guitarist, but I kind of watch, she's somebody who I watch and I'm like, I have no idea how you're doing that. I have no idea. And then you sort of, you do watch her and it's like a lot of times she's just using one finger. A lot of it has to do with the tuning of the guitar. But it's just such a joyful experience for her, I think, just putting her hands, you know, interacting with the strings on the guitar and the wood and the metal and... So I do think there's just a
you
real
both have
visceral
to,
quality.
You both have to practice every day at this stage. Do you still?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny's a terror. She's incredible. I'm more of a binge practicer. Jenny just, when something's coming up, I practice.
Yeah,
Jenny,
right.
Jenny's been putting in an hour almost every day, which is a lot.
I think that I love writing the song so much. I love this time of day. I love this. And so... being in the studio is wonderful for me. Writing a song is wonderful. Being in front of an audience and trying to give them that experience is a totally, totally different thing.
Less pleasant?
It's just requires absolutely different skills. And I don't think I understood that until I started understanding what I needed to do to get ready to play these songs live at the CD release. You can infinitely dive into, and I didn't know this before, figuring out how to give a live audience the intimate experience that they have at their home listening to the CD. And it's
well, that's a tricky balancing act, though, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you pull it off?
I'm still learning. I know that it's a different skill, because if it was up to me, I'd be sitting like this with my guitar, you know, wrapped around
like
my
hugging guitar.
Her guitar. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's how it feels so good to me. But an audience doesn't get the song live when you do it that way. So you
what
have
you,
to figure
what do
out
you
how
think,
to do it.
What do you both think an audience, are audiences demanding on any level for you two, or are they just there to take what you give? Do you know what I mean? That's a philosophical kind
of
question.
Yeah, I think of the people we play for as pretty sophisticated. I mean, there's an expectation of kind of a competence, but also just a level of wit and, you know, the words that we put together. And that may just be the people we seek out to play for. But, you know, last night we play once a month at this bar, Friendly's, and, you know, it's a party.
Where's that?
It's the Friendly Tap.
Right down
on
the
Roosevelt
street
Road.
From
yeah.
It's on that
Fitzgerald
Roosevelt
and
Road.
Irwin. Yeah. 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 And probably, you know, we get to a point where people are drinking. They're not really listening. And, boy, we're just trying to play some music that's got a groove. But there's always, for us, there's always clever lyrics behind all that stuff. But we're just trying to get a good rhythm going. And
People are dancing.
Yeah, right.
It's 1 a.m. and they're like, don't stop.
But, you know, we love an audience where everyone's sitting in a chair and hanging on every word as well. And that's,
sure,
you know, I think it's just different.
Well, but that's also one of the joys of being a performer is you, I suppose you can in certain places at certain times anticipate exactly what your audience is going to be. But there is always that element of surprise that comes back at you guys as performers that make you, you know, as you're saying, it's kind of an athletic pursuit. You got to think on your feet and think with your fingers. I'm sitting in here having a great time with Jenny and Robin Benjamin. Jenny's new CD. I think of all CDs as ambitious, but this one is more so because it's filled with beautiful, beautiful Sue Demmels artwork. There's a release party April 21st at 8 o'clock. At Fitzgerald's, it will feature not only Robin, but Steve Dawson, Jody Walker, Naomi Ashley, and who knows, maybe special guests or
That's
two.
That's true.
That is true, mm-hmm. Because you
never know.
People are fond of you two, as am I. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back and maybe hear another song and let these people go home and get to sleep because they're working artists. We'll be right back. Guitar work of Jenny Benjamin, whose new CD, Every Soul Grows to the Light. That is a cool. It had some other bizarre title before. What was it called?
Imminent.
Yeah, that's not going to sell.
No.
That's just not going to sell. The CD release party is April 21st at 8 at Fitzgerald's with her husband Robin, who's in here, and a number of special guests. I also want to tell you about my great friend Zay Smith, the former Tribune reporter, has a son who makes music. Electrodied 3, The Sunken Temple, will be at the Chris Farley Theater at I.O. on April 11th. I saw the show the last time. I guess I saw Electrodied number 2. This one is number 3. I called it unlike anything you've seen before. Artful, tuneful, and exciting. If that doesn't get you there, I don't know what will. April 11th, it's only 10 o'clock. It's only $10. It's at 10:30 at I.O. What are you expecting from this CD release party? You've had them before, of course, you do.
We try to make our CD releases an event. So it's a genuine party, and we've got everybody in that you've already named, Naomi and Jody and Robin and Steve Dawson opening the show. And we've planned the set to feature some of the performers who perform at Fitzgerald's and other incarnations all the time.
Yeah.
So Andon Davis, Clem Hayes, they're in a million bands, plus the band The Zimmerman, which do the Bob Dylan covers that Robin and I are part of. And the leader of the Zimmerman, Pat Brennan, who I don't know if you know him.
No.
He will be singing Michael Smith's part in the song Pay the Piper, which is totally appropriate if you met Pat Brennan.
Yeah.
You would appreciate how appropriate it is. He will be playing the devil. So lots of little bonbons within the show.
What's next for you two? I mean, the party's over on the 20th. You wake up on the 21st.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Yeah, what is the, you know, honestly, we kind of take turns with projects.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made about this time last year, I was kind of wrapping up my album's songs about, what was that? What is it?
Wasn't it?
Songs about lessons learned.
There you go.
All my albums have similar titles, and it's hard to keep track. And we did a big party around that, and, you know, when we do shows, we kind of focus on
how often songs. Do you perform?
You know, it seems like something about once a month for us, right?
I think, you know, if our calendar looks more like 50 or 60 times a year.
Yeah, so that's true.
Sometimes
actually.
It's a full show. Sometimes it's just a couple songs with the group. So we're a couple times a week, you know, but maybe once a month we were doing a couple of sets somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a lot of things we get invited to where we end up doing a few songs, yeah. You know, so I don't think of those as shows. Yeah. But they're actually, you know, we love that kind of stuff. We love being involved in groups of, you know, five and six performers or everyone's
doing. You're born collaborators. Are you working on a new CD?
You know, my CDs are themes. So the last one was songs about lessons learned, where every song had something to do with a lesson or education of some kind. Previously, I had a song, it was actually somewhat inspired by Studs Terkel's work. It was it's songs about work, and everything had to do with being at your job or making money. And the next ones, I end up doing a bunch of country songs on different subjects, on oddball subjects. So I've probably got six or seven really good country songs, and I'm thinking of doing like a country album. And
songs about country songs?
And then songs about country songs maybe. And then I've got a bunch of songs, about a half-finished record, songs about girls, where some of the songs are a little more abstract about women and girls, and then a number of them are specifically about specific people. I've got a song about Jennifer Aniston, song about the jazz singer, a rap song about the jazz singer Anita O'Day, who I love.
Oh, sure.
I was thinking about writing a song about Rachel Maddow.
Interesting. This could be a hot CD.
Yeah, man. Right. Yeah, right. And just kind of historical women. So I've got a bunch of songs lined up for that. So that one's about half done.
Do you both write every day?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, not certainly not right now. But yeah,
I mostly write every day. Yeah. Kind of all the time, yeah. I take the train into work most days, and I get the solid.
What is work? I forgot.
You know, I work for a big law firm.
That's
one of
right.
The great law firms in the world, McDermott, Will & Emery. Been there for most of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I work for one of the great Chicago law firms. Jenny works for one of the great Chicago theaters.
It's true.
Well, you got to make a living. I mean, that's the other great thing. It'd be wonderful.
You know, I was thinking about it. Hey, we got to make a living, but it's also just another way to be in touch with, like, culture of Chicago, you know, if you're a musician and you're not in touch with...
No, I totally agree with that. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
I love being part of the real economy of the place. And
well, and also, I mean, you're tied into life.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're tied into a real kind of life. I mean, I love the thing you've created out in Fitzgerald's and that whole community, and that is a great thing. But when one gets tied too closely to one certain thing, like, you know, I've seen people get tied to the newspaper business, and you become myopic.
Yeah. No, and the that group of creative people, I think everybody there has a job of some kind.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it really is one of the great levelers, because there are people in our group who are attorneys, and then there are people who are baristas. There are people who are filmmakers.
Sure.
Actually, one of the great Joe Fournier is one of the great Chicago Tribune cartoonists.
Oh my God, he's fantastic!
But he's also one of the great jazz saxophonists, and he's often sitting in with us at in our forum.
Well, because
there.
You know what happens then is you bring real life.
Yeah.
Into the artistic life.
Absolutely.
And I think it enriches that kind of thing. I'm going to let you two guys go, and I'm going to end this show with your call musically.
Let's listen to "Pay the Piper."
Why are we listening to Pay the Piper?
It is the...
Not only is it on the new CD, Every Soul Grows to the Light, it features...
Michael Smith and Sons of the Never Wrong.
I adore you guys.
It's mutual.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Rick.
And it's always fun to have you. And this is really spectacular. I'll play some more next week on the show,
too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
and the devil's paths cross, and their eyes meet. The piper is aching, he rocks tired eyes. The devil is laughing, leaning against the side of his gleaming Rolls Royce. He says,
"Hey, piper, hey, friend, see you dropping your invoice, always at the end of a hard day. They see you coming, they start running, they pay what's owing by throwing crumpled dollar bills over their shoulder. Now me, I get paid, I mean paid, I mean really, 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 really well paid. Down on one knee, that's how they greet me, with all their money in smooth piles of $1,000 bills." Hallelujah, they're under my thumb. If they think that it will save them, they'll be by the time. Friend, you work too hard, you gotta let life knock them down, cause then they drop their guard. The tiniest thing, they think the sky is falling, it's appalling how fast they pick up when they see me calling. Piper, use your brain. No one wants to pay for what they use. Wait till they're in pain. If they think you're pure, they will pay for sure. Pay until it hurts, and they'll never stop to ask if you're a blessing or a curse.
Don't you think? Thanks for joining me and my guest tonight. I'll be here next Sunday, too. I don't know what the Blackhawks' schedule for playoff games is. I do know that the Cubs' opener is tomorrow. But thanks a million for listening. Thanks to Aubrey Mumpower for engineering. And Lisa, thank you, too, for being the world's greatest producer. You're the greatest producer ever.